الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وذروا ظاهر الإثم وباطنه. وقال تعالى: وما أصابكم من مصيبة فبما كسبت أيديكم ويعفو عن كثير. صدق الله العظيم. Most respected ulama, elders, beloved brothers, in the verses of the Quran Sharif that I have recited, the first verse, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions, وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَ، that all types of gunas and all types of sin, completely discard, completely leave it out. Whether it is internal gunas, whether it is external gunas, a person should leave it out. And in the second verse of the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions that the difficulties, the problems that we experience in life, whether it is on an individual level, whether it is the Muslim Ummah that is suffering at a global level, this is all because of our own actions. But Allah Ta'ala says, وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ، many things Allah Ta'ala overlooks. If really Allah Ta'ala has to take us to account, then a person won't even exist on the surface of the earth. On one occasion, when we were in Zambia, they gave us a little background about Zambia. So they said around the 1960s, it was a time of Hazrat Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So he said that in Zambia, the local people of Zambia said, we don't want the Indian community of Zambia here any longer. They gave them a deadline. They said, by a certain time, we want you out of Zambia. So people were parashan, people were worried. So at that time, many people had the British passport. People in Zambia, Zimbabwe, these countries, they had British passports. So some said, we'll move over to Britain. But there were those people that were genuinely worried. They had a figure. So they wrote to Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, and they asked Hazrat that what should we do in this situation. So Hazrat told them, he said, see, your niyat is not correct here. Just correct your niyat. You have come here primarily for business. Just make your niyat deen and see how the help of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will be with you. So some of them, when they got the response of Hazrat Ji, it is mentioned they were so genuine, they were so sincere in what they done. They took their British passport and they went and surrendered their British passport. And they changed their niyat. They say that Zambia is landlocked by approximately 8 to 9 countries. But they say the surrounding countries, there's so much of problem, but in Zambia there's no problem. How Allah Ta'ala had protected them when they made their maqsad deen, obeying every command of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We heard from our Hazrat also, Hazrat mentioned in one occasion in India, there were serious problems in India as well. So the people said, we'll make hijrat from here, we'll go away to Makkah Sharif. Like when there's problem in South Africa, everybody wants to now go out of the country. Everybody wants to migrate. You want to go to Australia, New Zealand, this country, that country. So they wrote to Hazrat Ji. So Hazrat Ji said that the halat that come down upon the halat that comes down is not upon the place. The halat that comes down is upon the people. So even if you go with these qualities, you go to Makkatul Mukarrama, the same halat will come to Makkatul Mukarrama as well. So the bottom line is a person has to change. In the time of Mirza Jana Jana Rahmatullahi, very great buzrug, and he was a man that was a very delicate temperament as well. If the cup of the flask wasn't kept straight, then Hazrat, his tabiyat, he'll get a headache, so to say. Now he'll get a headache, why it's not kept straight? Or the bedding is not put right. It will give him a headache, why the bedding is not right? That was his temperament. So in his time, there was a king, Nadir Shah. So he attacked Delhi. And many businesses, many buildings were burned down to ashes in Delhi. And bloodshed, looting took place, all this took place in Delhi. So one person, he went to Mirza Jana Jana Rahmatullahi. He said, Hazrat, all this that is taking place, what is all this that is taking place? So he said, your amal have taken the form of Nadir Shah. Simple. He just answered the question in one sentence, that your amal has taken the form of Nadir Shah. If your amal comes right, everything will come right. Today in the ummah, mashallah, people are reading namaz also. We are fasting also. We are discharging zakat also. We are going for hajj also. Nafil umrah also we are performing. Tilawat of Quran Sharif is also taking place. People are attending khanqa also. People are going out in the path of Allah Ta'ala also. But in secrecy many a time, the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala is also taking place. One poet, very beautifully he explained this. He said that as long as the gaze of a person remains on everyone else. This person is involved in this wrong. That one is involved in that wrong. This person is involved in this wrong. Then you will regard yourself as the greatest wali of the time. I'm the greatest buzruk. There's nobody like me. That is why everybody is doing wrong. He says, but the moment that our gaze comes onto ourselves, I got so many faults in myself, then a person will realize there's nobody worse than me in the entire world. Allah, give us this realization. That is why Mashaykh was make dua. Allah, open my faults to me. Let me see my faults. I can reform. I can become a better person. So when I meet Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, I can meet Allah in a way that Allah ta'ala is pleased with me. I'm looking forward to meet Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is sattarul uyub. Allah ta'ala conceals our gunas, our sins. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala conceals our gunas and sins. Allah never exposes. Today a great challenge the Muslim ummah is facing, that today youngsters, that today they're doing wrong in the night, tomorrow morning they're putting it on social media. Confessions. Where is there such a thing as confessions in our Sharia? A person, he commits a guna at night, in the morning he makes tawbah in secrecy. Allah says wiped out. Even the malaika won't even know about that guna. It is wiped out from their records also. The earth also will be made to forget. No record whatsoever, Allah Ta'ala will wipe it out. During the day a person disobeyed Allah Ta'ala. At night a person secretly, he made tawbah, cries to Allah, I made a mistake. I did wrong, O Allah. Allah says wiped out. No need for confession. You and your Allah and your matter is sorted out. At the same time, it comes in Hadith Sharif that a person, he does wrong at night, Allah conceals his guna. And in the morning he wakes up and he goes and he advertises that guna. That which Allah conceals, he advertises it in the morning. Severe warning has been cited for such a person. So on one side, Allah Ta'ala is sattarul uyub. Dr. Abdul Haysal Arifi Rahmatullah Ali Hazrat used to say that Allah is sattarul uyub, and he used to say Allah is sattarul hasanat also. Allah doesn't show us our good deeds, the good deeds that you did. A person, he read so many khatam, made so many khatams of Quran Sharif. Or a person, he built a masjid and so many people are coming to the masjid. The reward of that, Allah Ta'ala doesn't show a person. And there's great wisdom, there's great hikmat of Allah Ta'ala in this as well. If a person, he built a huge masjid, Allah gave him the wealth, and thousands of people are now coming to the masjid. They're performing salah in the masjid. Now he says, oh, look at the reward I got. What will happen? Pride might come in. He might say, oh, my work is done. I'm sorted out now for the akhirat. And the moment that pride came in, finished, he's gone down to the ground. So Allah is sattarul hasanat. On one side, he's hiding our faults. And on the other side, our good deeds also Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala conceals. In the time of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, there was severe drought. People were in distress, animals were distressed, there's no food, there's no water. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam made elan and he told the people, he said, tomorrow we're coming out, we're going to make salatul istisqa. So the people got ready and 70,000 of the Bani Israel came out next day. The adults came out, the little children also came out, everybody came out. They took the animals also with them to go and perform the salatul istisqa. Now the Nabi of Allah, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he is making the salah and making dua to Allah Ta'ala. And 70,000 Bani Israel, they saying Ameen to the dua of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. It is mentioned the first day Musa alayhi salam made dua, there is no rain, there is no sign of rain also. The rule is and the law was that the first day if there is no rain, come back the second day. Make salatul istisqa for the second day. Make dua again on the second day. If on the second day there is no rain, come back on the third day. Make dua again on the third day. Read the namaz again on the third day. And on the third day if there is no rain, now you need to stop. So the first day Musa alayhi salam made dua, Bani Israel is crying, they are in distress, they are going through so much of problems, but no rain and no sign of rain. They came back the second day, again Musa alayhi salam did the salah, made dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, no rain, there is no sign of rain also. The third day, again they came for salatul istisqa, again there is no rain, there is no sign of rain. So Musa alayhi salam got worried, he made dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He said, Ya Allah, normally a person when he cries and when the tears flow, at that time your rahmat immediately descends. A person that's in problem, you remove the problems of that person. No rain, you send rain, O Allah. But on this particular occasion, the Bani Israel, they are crying. 70,000 Bani Israel, there's no rain, no sign of rain. 3 days have passed. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said, O Musa, in the Bani Israel here, there is one person that is sitting here. 40 years this person disobeyed me. And it is because of this person I am holding back the rain. If this person leaves the majma, he leaves the gathering, then I will send rain. So Musa alayhi salam made dua. He said, Ya Allah, here there's 70,000 Bani Israel. Today one ijtima we have, 15,000 people, 10,000 people, 20,000 people. How much of work? Weeks and months ahead, we are already preparing. We got the mic systems in place. This has to be in order. That has to be in order. How can I make elan to 70,000 people? How will they hear me? But what is the qudrat of Allah? وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِ Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah said, you make elan for hajj, don't worry, we will convey the message. Everybody heard the message of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So here also Allah Ta'ala told Musa al-Islam, oh Musa, don't worry. You come onto a raised platform and you make the elan. I will convey the message to the 70,000 Bani Israel. And Musa al-Islam came onto the raised platform. He made the elan that there is a person that is in this congregation. 40 years he's breaking the commands of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. You leave this congregation, come out of this congregation so Allah Ta'ala can send rain. That person, he got the message. There and there, he put his head down in Tawbah. He cried to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Ya Allah, I made a mistake, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, 40 years you conceal me. Don't humiliate me today, Ya Allah, in front of all these people, Ya Allah. These people are going to curse me, that because of me, they are suffering, their children are suffering, the animals are suffering. A short while after that, clouds gathered. And now there's winds that are blowing and the rain came down. Musa al-Islam again made dua to Allah. He said, Ya Allah, I don't understand this. That nobody left the gathering and you immediately now you send rain. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said, oh Musa, that person because of whom I withheld the rain, because of the same person, now I have sent the rain also. So then Musa al-Islam made dua. I said, Ya Allah, show me this person. Let me see who this person is. What Allah Ta'ala said, oh Musa, that I am Sattarul Uyub. 40 years I hid him. Now I must conceal and must disclose who this person is. For the future also I will conceal this person. I will never disclose who this person is. So this is our Allah. Allah Ta'ala conceals. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala hides. But a person that errs, a person that falls, we just make tawbah, we turn to Allah and continue on this path. A person, he will reach his destination. In the Kitab Nuzhatul Majalis, it is an incident has been written. The author of the Kitab is Nafi' Yamani Rahimahullah. He's written an amazing incident. He said there was one buzrug that he was making tawaf of Baytullah. While making tawaf of Baytullah, he sees that there is a woman. And this woman, she is saying, Ya Kareem, Ya Kareem, Ahduka al-Qadeem, Ya Kareem, Ya Kareem, Ahduka al-Qadeem. That, oh Allah, who is most kind, who is most generous to Allah, that your old promise that you have made, your old promise that you have made. So, Buzruk went up to her, he said, what promise are you talking about? There is nothing that is obligatory upon Allah. There is nothing that is binding upon Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Whatever Allah ta'ala does for us, that is purely the kindness and the kindness of Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Whatever Allah ta'ala has blessed us with, this is the kindness of Allah. So, she said, there's an incident behind this. So, he said, what is the incident? Explain the incident to me. So, she said that many years ago, she said that I was traveling by ship. That in those days, they used to travel by ship. There were no airplanes and things of that sort, so they used to travel by ship. It is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif also that a person that undertakes a journey by ship, he should only undertake such a journey either because he is going for Hajj, or a person is going for Umrah, or a person is going out in jihad in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Not what has becoming. Again, this is another challenge today where people are going on the dream liners and on the, all these cruise liners they're going, and the casinos also on there, and so much of haram that is taking place, and people are going on these boats. And if a person has to pass away, if a mort of a person comes on this, how dangerous it is. The unthinkable Titanic and all young girls on that ship. And when it sunk, then those girls that were 16 and 17 years old, they looked like old women when they took them out later on. So nevertheless, she said that I undertook a journey. Mawlana Qasim Sahib Nanotwi Rahmatullahi, in those days they used to go for Hajj 2-3 months, sometimes it used to take them. Hazrat, in the month of Ramadan, there was no Hafiz. And he was the only person, no Hafiz on the ship. So it is mentioned in 30 days, he made Khatam of the Quran. He became Hafiz of the Quran every day. He used to learn one para and read it at night. So nevertheless, this lady also, she undertook a journey by ship. So she said that if the winds were favorable, you'll reach your destination very quickly. And if the winds were not favorable, then it will take you much longer the time to reach your destination. And if the ship had to go into a whirlpool, then finish, you are destroyed. The ship is also going to get destroyed and people also going to pass away. So the ship, it so happened, it went into a whirlpool. And the ship was broken to pieces. So she managed to get a piece of log, a piece of wood. And she had a little infant, a little baby with her. So she and the baby, they got onto this piece of wood. And there was an Abyssinian person, he also got onto a piece of wood. So he was also saved, and this woman and her baby were also saved. So when it was morning, now it was brightness, little brightness appeared. Then the Abyssinian person, he saw that there is a woman over here. And with her, there is a little baby. So he comes to her on that piece of wood that he was floating. He reaches her, he comes to her. And then he gets off her piece of wood and he jumps onto her piece of wood. So now he's sitting with her and talking to her. So what does he tell her? He says that he wants to do haram. Allah Ta'ala just protected him. Allah Ta'ala just saved him. From all the people that were on the ship, they were saved. Yet now look at where his mind went to. So he told her, he expressed his desire of doing haram. She said that, can't you think, like today what is happening in the world, earthquakes all over in the world, so much of problems in the world, the earth is shaking, the buildings are shaking, but the heart of insan doesn't shake. When the tsunami took place, the animals ran away from there, but insan doesn't get the message. So here also she said, don't you get the message, we're still in the water, we haven't even reached safety, we haven't even reached our destination. Make dua to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala take us to our destination, make dua, turn to Allah. But he wasn't interested. When a person is overpowered by lust, Allah give us all understanding, Allah forgive us. When a person is overpowered, then a person, the mind also doesn't think. So what she did, she pinched the baby and got the baby up. When the baby got up, the baby started crying. So she told him, see, the baby is crying. Let the baby calm down, then we will talk further. So he took the baby and he threw the baby into the ocean. So she turned to Allah. She cried to Allah Ta'ala at that time. That, Ya Allah, you help me, Allah. There is nobody here that can help me. There is nobody here that can assist me, Allah. It is mentioned one creature, one animal came out of the ocean. And in one gulp, or what you say, in one morsel, it followed this person and went back into the ocean. So anyway, she continued sailing until finally she reached an island. On this island, there was food, there was fruit, vegetables, there was fresh water, everything. So she said, at least I'll survive on this island. So when she went on to the island, she stayed on this island for 4 days. After 4 days, she saw that in a distance there is a boat, a ship. So she went on to a little platform, a raised platform, and she started waving a cloth to get their attention. So they must have seen that there's a cloth, maybe somebody is in some problem, some difficulty. So they stopped the ship in the ocean, and they sent a small boat with 3 people to go and see. So 3 people, they came, and they found this lady on the island. So they put her into the boat. After putting her into the boat, they brought her to the ship. The moment she went into the ship, she climbed up to the top floor. She sees her baby in the ship. So she immediately goes down to the baby. She becomes emotional. She starts crying that her baby is there. So the people didn't know that this is her baby. They thought there's something wrong with her. She's gone crazy. So they asked her that, is this your baby? So she said, this is my child. So then she starts explaining the entire incident, that what happened and how the Abyssinian person threw this child into the ocean. So they told her, listen to what we have to tell you. So then they explained to her, they said that as this boat was moving, one creature came out, an animal like came out of the ocean, and it stopped the entire ship. And then from the unseen, a voice appeared. And the voice said that one of the passengers, go and pick this baby up, otherwise the ship is not going to move, you'll never reach your destination. One person, he came out, he jumped onto the animal, and he brought the baby. And then that animal disappeared. So look at the ghaibi intizam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. When a person, he is genuine. When a person wants to stay away from the disobedience of Allah, Allah will make the way for that person. And Allah will protect a person. If a person is on haq, and he's got the help of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And on the other side, the whole world is against him. But he is on haq. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's help, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's assistance is with such a person. In one narration, it comes of Abdullah bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says that on a moonlit night, he says, I went to the Qabristan. He says that when I went to the Qabristan, there Allah give us all the tawfiq that at least once a week we visit the Qabristan also. We remember the marhumin. Isal al-sawab we can do from anywhere. But the actual objective going to the Qabristan, that this is where I'm going to come to. This is where I'm going to rest tomorrow. One person had the profile picture I saw once. That on that profile picture, he had on one side that a beautiful bed that has been made. And next to the bed there is a Qabr. And they indicate with one arrow today, that beautiful bed today you're sleeping. And tomorrow, that is going to be your bed tomorrow. Allah give us all the understanding that we have to leave the world. We're all going in the same direction. We're all going towards the Qabr. So Abdullah bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala, he came to the Qabristan. When he came to the Qabristan, at night, and he hears some sound. Then he sees that one person, he comes out from the Qabr. And this person, he's got chains around him. So it was seeming like he was panting, he was a bit tired, somebody was chasing him. So this person starts walking. As this person starts walking, somebody from the Qabr now pulls those chains. And he pulls the chains, this person comes back and he falls into the Qabr. So Abdullah bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala, he went closer to listen that what is going on. So now he hears a discussion. The inmate of the Qabr is talking now to the Farista. The person that pulled him in was the Farista. So the inmate of the Qabr is discussing with him. So this person is asking the Farista, Alam akun usalli, did I not read my namaz in this dunya? Wasn't I namazi person all the time performing my salah? Alam akun asum, was I not a person that kept my roza in this dunya? Meaning I was fulfilling the laws of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Alam akun aghtasil, was I not a person that used to make ghusl, meaning I was in a state of janabat, then I cleansed myself, I purified myself, I made ghusl also. Didn't all this take place? So the Farista is saying, 100%, you were a person of deen. Namaz also you read. fasting all your food. Yurta also you kept. Ghusl also you made. Everything was above board. But at the same time, when you were in seclusion, when you thought that there was nobody around you, then there you broke the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There should be no contradiction. Allah give us the tawfiq. No contradiction between our public life and between our private life. And that is one definition of siddiq. That there is no contradiction between his public life and between his private life. It is mentioned that Qarun was actually became a man of dunya, he was a very pious person also. For 40 years, Qarun, he made the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the shaitan, Iblis, used to send the little shayateen, go and try and distract Qarun, go and distract him, he used to live in the mountain. But they failed. So one day Iblis said, now I'm going to try. So Iblis, he went to distract Qarun. So when Iblis went there, it is mentioned, he came in the form of a abid, of a worshipper. And he started making the ibadah of Allah Ta'ala. He started making so much of ibadah that Qarun never used to fast. But Iblis, he started fasting every day. And he made more ibadah than Qarun as well. So Qarun felt ashamed. He said that you just came now and so much ibadah you're making, much more than me you are making. So Iblis told him that just wait a little bit. That I will stop my ibadah. But on condition, you don't attend the janaza namaz of any of the Bani Israel. You don't attend the janaza namaz. And don't get involved in any of their matters. So, Qarun, he agreed. So, it is mentioned, shaitan, he stopped his ibadah. Now, look how shaitan works. And how he takes a person from step to step. So, he said that, okay. Then after a little while, Qarun, he came back. Shaitan now told Qarun. He said, see, we're living here in the mountains. Just come down. Come down to the earth. So, he brought him down. And they built the ibadat khana, and there they were making the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. Now the whole Bani Israel, they watching that Qarun is making, these two people are making so much of ibadat. They don't know this is shaitan. Shaitan on one side, Qarun on the other side. So what the Bani Israel used to do, every day they would bring food and they would give them food. So after some time, shaitan told Qarun, he said that we are taking people's food, we're eating people's food. Shouldn't we eat our own food? So Qarun said, what must we do? So he said, one day in the week must work. And 6 days in the week, we make the ibadah of Allah Ta'ala. It appealed to Qarun. So he said, okay. So one day in the week, they used to work. And 6 days, they made the ibadah of Allah Ta'ala. So see how we took him from stage to stage. And then finally, shaitan came and he said, see, that we are earning our own money, we're eating the food. So we only got enough to buy food. But we don't give sadaqah. And the reward of sadaqah is so great, Allah Ta'ala. So let's give sadaqah also. So he said, now how must we do that? They said, one day you work, one day you make the ibadah of Allah Ta'ala. So one day they started working, one day he started making the ibadah of Allah Ta'ala. Now shaitan, within a few days, he escaped from there. Shortly thereafter, Allah Ta'ala opened up the treasures for Qarun. And how does Qarun eventually leave the world? فَقَصَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ. We drowned him into the earth. Allah Ta'ala says, وَقَارُونَ وَفِرْعَوْنَ وَهَامَانَ. Qarun, Fir'aun, Haman. وَلَقَدْ جَاءَهُمْ مُوسَى بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ. Musa alayhi salam came to them, clear signs. That bring iman, that I'm the true Nabi of Allah. فَاسْتَدْبَرُوا وَمَا كَانُوا سَابِقِينَ. But they became proud. They didn't escape the azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. As Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam, in his time, when everyone was destroyed, when the people were destroyed, and the mu'mineen were on the ship, now Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam boarded the ship. When Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam boarded the ship, at that time, it is mentioned, Nuh alayhi salam notices there's one old man that is sitting here. So he said, where you came from? Who are you? Who gave you permission to come onto the ship? So this was shaitan. So what he said, I came here to captivate the hearts of all the people that are on the ship. I want to make all of them my followers. So while they were speaking, so shaitan told him that I attack people in 5 ways. So I will only tell you 3. The 2 I'm not going to tell you. So Allah Ta'ala sent wahi to Nuh alayhi salam. That no, tell him, leave those 3. We don't want to know about the 3. But the 2, tell us about the 2, how people get destroyed. So then he mentioned 2 ways. So he said, which are the 2 ways? He said, the one is how I got destroyed. When hasad came into me, it is so dangerous, this hasad. It is so dangerous that it will destroy. These are internal gunas. Quran is saying, leave out your external gunas, leave out the internal gunas. So he said that the hasad, it completely destroys a person. And I got destroyed because of hasad. And he said, what is the second one? He said, the second one is greed. Adam alayhi salam had everything in Jannah. But what shaitan told him, you want to stay here forever. If you want to stay here forever, then eat from that tree. So see that greed came in. Allah gave him that you stay here forever. But the greed came in, I want to stay even longer. So he went and ate from the forbidden fruit. So he said, because of that, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam lost his place in Jannah. So it is mentioned when the ship now came to a halt, when he stopped in the end, Nuh alayhi salam looked for shaitan. He said, oh, shaitan is sitting in the back. So he told shaitan, don't you feel ashamed? Today so many people have drowned. So many people lost their lives when the floods have come. All because of you. You don't feel bad about it. So Shaitan asked Nuh al-Islam, what must I do? So Nuh al-Islam said, make tawbah, sort out your life, sort out your matter with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So he said, alright, request Allah ta'ala that I want to make tawbah. I want to sort out my matter. So Nuh al-Islam made dua to Allah ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala tells Nuh al-Islam, tell Shaitan, no problem. Today also I'm prepared to accept his tawbah. Where Hazrat Adam alayhi salam is resting, just go to the place of Adam alayhi salam, the qabar of Adam alayhi salam, and just make sajda there. The matter is sorted out. With pride, what did he say? He said, you think when he was alive, I never make sajda. Now when Adam alayhi salam has passed away, I must make sajda at his qabar. Never, I'll never make sajda at his qabar. It is mentioned that when last the animals entered that ark of Nuh alayhi salam, and the last animal that entered the ark was a donkey. And Shaitan attached himself to the tail of the donkey and he got into that ark. On another occasion, when Musa alayhi salam went to meet Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Shaitan came there also. When he went to speak to Allah ta'ala on the Mount of Tur, Shaitan never left him there also. So the malaika, they told Shaitan, they say, what you came here for? That he came to speak to Allah ta'ala, the Nabi of Allah, you came here also. He said that what I did to his grandfather, I want to do the same to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam as well. So on one occasion, when Shaitan met Musa alayhi salam, he made the same request. I want to sort out my matter with Allah. So speak to Allah ta'ala. So Musa alayhi salam spoke to Allah. Allah ta'ala gave the same answer. Tell him, go make sajda at the qabar of Adam alayhi salam. So when he came back, and now Musa alayhi salatu wasalam related this to Shaitan. So Shaitan said, you done me a favor, you spoke to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Let me tell you three instances where I destroy a person. He said, the first instance I destroy a person, when a person loses his anger. When he loses his anger, I flow in his body like blood flows through the veins of the body. That's the time where I completely destroy a person. It mentioned Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on one occasion, what control he had of his anger. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he came to Masjid al-Nabawi, it was a rainy day. So the water from the house of Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the gutter was channeled onto Masjid al-Nabawi. All the water is coming to Masjid al-Nabawi. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, whose water is this? Whose gutter is this? And he broke the gutter. He got very, very upset. Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala came later on and he saw his gutter is broken. He said, who broke my gutter? So they said, Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Khalifa of the time, he broke the gutter. So he went to Umar radiallahu ta'ala. He said that, what right did you have to break that gutter when Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam attached that gutter to my house? So it is mentioned Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Amirul Mu'mineen, and we know the position of Umar, the rob of Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Umar radiallahu ta'ala asked him, did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam give you permission? He said, 100%, Nabi alayhi wa sallam gave me permission. He gave me permission to attach it. He went onto his back. And in ruku, he said, get onto my back and attach your gutter. Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala said, don't worry, I will sort it out. He says, no, you get onto my back and you sort out that gutter. It is mentioned up to now, that gutter of Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, it is there up to this point as well. So he said, one is anger. The second time, he says, when a person, he goes out in jihad. So Shaitan says, at that time I come to him. And what do I tell him? Your wife is going to get married to somebody else. Your children are going to become orphans. That go back, return from the battlefield, run away from the battlefield. You can't do this to your wife and children. And he said, the third instance is when a man and a woman are together. He says, when they're in seclusion, he said, I will get them inclined and I will get the two of them involved in guna. So this is what Shaitan said to Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. I may mention one more incident. That is mentioned on one occasion, Hazrat Abdullah bin Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He came out of one of the masjid of Madinatul Munawwara. When he came out, he saw Shaitan. So Shaitan asked him, he said, you know me? So he said, I know you. So he said, who am I? So he said, you are Shaitan. So he said, how do you know I am Shaitan? He said, when I came out of the masjid, I was making the zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So when I saw your face, I forgot the zikr of Allah. So I knew you, Shaitan. So Shaitan said, I want to make some nasihat to you. He said, what nasihat can you make? You can't make any nasihat to me. So he said, no, listen, I want to make nasihat to you. If it appeals to you, accept it. If it doesn't appeal to you, then don't worry about it. So he said, what nasihat you want to make? So he said, the first nasihat that I want to make to you is don't ask of any human being, ask from Allah Ta'ala. Your Shaitan is giving all the secrets. That he said, don't ask of any human being. If you want to ask, you have any need, ask directly from Allah. Allah will fulfill your need. And the second thing he mentioned here also was about anger. That this is a dangerous disease. That anger, when a person becomes angry, he loses control of himself. He says, that is when I get complete control of that particular person. So a person, how important it is that we stay in the sohbat of mashayikh, of ahlullah, in the company of the pious, and we realize that we have these spiritual illnesses. It is mentioned, the mashayikh have written, that even if a person, he goes once a month also,
and he spends 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes in the sohbat, in the company of some friend of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, this also will be very, very beneficial to a person. Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi, the Grand Mufti of Pakistan, it is mentioned that the Mufti Sahib used to have his majlis on a Sunday. And on a Sunday between 11:30 and 12:30 was Mufti Sahib's majlis. But in the end of the life of the Mufti Sahib, he was very, very sick. He had heart problems. At times he was so sick that Hazrat couldn't even speak as well. So at that, initially his majlis used to be in his Darul Ifta. But later on he moved it to his room. When he became very ill, he moved it to his room. So it is mentioned that people used to come from the town, from different places for his majlis. When they used to come, he used to say, come to the room. It's not necessary to talk. Even if you just come and sit there, and just stay in my sohbat, then also a person will benefit. So they used to come and they used to sit there, and the announcement used to make only 10 minutes. After 10 minutes, you leave the room and then you go away. It is mentioned, Allama Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi Rahmatullah Alayh, when he wrote his Seerah Kitab of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the perfection of Nabi Alayhi Salam, the qualities of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it is at this time, at this instant, that he asked himself, I wrote about Nabi Alayhi Salam, the qualities of Nabi Alayhi Salam, how much of this have I got in my life? So he realized that really I need help also. Such an alam of his time. He said, I also need help. So it is mentioned that is when he went in search of a sheikh, and eventually he ended up with Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh. When he came, perhaps this was the first time he came to Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh. So you have to sit in the majlis and only listen. A person, he can't talk in the khanqah also, and he can't ask any questions in the khanqah also. So he stayed there for 3 days. And it is mentioned for 3 days, he just listened to the talks of Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh. Why? Because when a person, he listens to the talk, then it will have an effect. Eventually it will have an effect on the heart of a person. So that is why they were required to listen to the talks of the Asabirin. And secondly, sometimes when you are listening, certain questions you have, Allah Ta'ala makes it such that the Shaykh will now start speaking on that subject matter. And your questions are also answered. So after 3 days, Dr. Abdul Haytham Arifi Rahmatullah Alayh says, he said, we saw Allama Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi Rahmatullah Alayh in the veranda of the Khanqa, that he is crying over there. So we went there, we said, Hazrat, what's wrong? Why are you crying? After 3 days, why are you crying here in the veranda? So what he said, Allama Sulaiman Nadwi Rahmatullah Alayh, he says that up to now I thought I'm an alim. And on that knowledge because of which I thought I'm an allama, he was allama of the time. He said, I thought I'm an allama, but today I've realized that I'm a jahil. Why? Because if you have acquired all the knowledge, but that knowledge doesn't have amal on it, then that is jahalat. And he says, I don't have, I'm not making amal on the knowledge that I have. So this is jahalat. So really, the sohbat of Ahlullah, the friends of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, is extremely, extremely necessary. Allama Fakhruddin Razi Rahmatullah Alayhi passed away in the year 1209. This is more than 230 years ago. Then that must have been such a good time in comparison to this today. It is mentioned that Allama Fakhruddin Razi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he went after studying by various ulama, he started going to all the mashayikh. But he couldn't get along with the mashayikh, meaning that that munasabat was not there with the mashayikh. So he really lost hope. He said, there's no sheikh for me. So somebody told him, certain place, go there. There's a certain sheikh over there. Maybe it will work out for you there. So he went to that sheikh. When he went there, he stayed for a few days. He says, no, I'm comfortable over here. And what is this munasabat? That when the sheikh speaks, then you listen to the sheikh. Now the love of Allah Ta'ala starts coming. Sunnah of Nabi Alayhi Salaam. The love, you love your sheikh. Whatever he says, you want to ask, you want to make amal upon it. So he went to the sheikh and now he saw there is munasabat. When he saw that there is munasabat with the sheikh, he went to the sheikh. He said, Hazrat, make me bear. So Hazrat said that, no, I can't make you bear now. Initially in those times, the sheikh never used to make the murids bear. They used to test them first. Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah used to test them as well. So he said, no, I'm not ready to make you bear. So after some time, he said, okay, come to my room. When he came to his room after the Fajr Salah, he locked the door. And he told him, sit down in front of me. And he told him, close your eyes. Now the sheikh made tawajjuh on his heart. When he made tawajjuh on his heart, he felt like there's a wind blowing and everything is coming, like pages are flipping, everything coming out of the heart. So he said, Hazrat, what are you doing? So he said, see all that ulum that you have acquired all these years, I'm taking out of your heart. All that ulum I'm taking out. He said, no, stop, I can't lose this knowledge. In those days, there was no Darul Ulum. They used to go to one sheikh, then to another ustad, then another ustad. 20 years, 30 years in acquiring knowledge. He said, what mehnat, what effort I made, all this you want to take out in 1 minute. He says, no, don't worry. When this will come out, I will put in the ruhani knowledge in your heart. And if you have that, then you got knowledge directly from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Then you don't need any other knowledge also. So Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullahi wasn't happy at that time. He said, "No, no, Hazrat, if you want to give me the fuse and the blessing, then give it to me with this knowledge. But I'm not prepared to lose the knowledge." So now the Sheikh is begging. He said, "No, you have come to take that. Now take that." But he refused to take that. So when he was leaving, the Sheikh told him, he said, "Okay, do me one favor. That just external connection, not an internal, not a strong connection. I won't enter you into the silsila. But just keep a connection with me. And even that will suffice." On that external connection that Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullahi had with his Sheikh at the time of Maut, when Shaitan broke 99 of his proofs of the existence of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala inspired the Sheikh at that time that Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullahi is in difficulty. The Sheikh was making wudu. He said, "Oh Fakhruddin, tell Shaitan that I bring Iman without Dalil. I don't need all this Dalil." And it is mentioned, Shaitan ran from there. His sakarat started and he passed away on Iman. Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi says, we are living in a time. He says, there's only one way. Hazrat mentioned this. Hazrat passed away in about 1943, he passed away. Before that he mentioned this. He said that we're living in a time that only one way to protect Iman, that remain in the sohbat of Ahlullah, the friends of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And you'll protect your Iman. Allah ta'ala give us all tawfiq.